The message series right now we're in is Nailed. Last week we looked at the first message of this three-part series. I called it I'm Nailed. And if you were here last week, we talked about sin. It was ugly, wasn't it? Say. How many left last week knowing for sure you're a sinner? Amen? No question about it. And they tell us, you know, these new churches today, you can't talk about sin. Well, we beg to differ with them because that's what the Bible calls us. Amen? We're sinners. If we're not sinners, we didn't need Jesus. If Jesus didn't come, why are we here? Amen? That's what it's all about. You've got to come to the place in your life where you know you're a sinner. We talked about it last week. I'm nailed, man. I was nailed. I was nailed before I got here last week. I knew for sure I was a sinner. Amen? But we talked about that last week. Now this week, the message is, He was nailed. Can you say that with me? He was nailed. And I'm going to do my best. I'm leaning like this. And probably by the time we get done today, I'm going to be humped over like this. Amen? But anyway, we're going to do our best this morning with the message, He was nailed. Now, I want you to pay attention. Just be here with me now this morning. This is the time where we share the Word of God. Let's go, Raj, with what we've got. All four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, record the crucifixion of Christ. So it must be really important, amen? It's everything. Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, John 19. Maybe this week you'll want to look at those different passages and just refresh yourself on what Jesus did for you in this Passion Week. Keep looking. I want to look at John 19. I can't look at all of them, but I'm going to look quite extensively this morning. You can go in your Bible to John 19, or you can follow along with me on the big screen this morning. Here's what the Bible says. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and he scourged him. He thought that would get the Jews off his back. Pilate did. We'll just scourge him real bad and slap him around some and, you know, probably he won't have to be crucified. So he scourged him and the soldiers plied the crown of thorns. They put it on his head. They put on him a purple robe. This is the Son of the living God, by the way, they're doing this to. Are you hearing me say? He was nailed. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Can you imagine that? Most of us wouldn't hit anybody just because we don't want to hit people, right? Much less the Son of the living God. It's crazy. The sad thing is if we were there in those days, and we'd have probably done the same thing. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I what? Find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they weren't satisfied. They cried out, say it with me, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The story keeps going. Pick it up in verse 15. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered and said, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And that's what this whole week's all about. And he, bearing his cross, Jesus, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him. On either side, one, and Jesus was in the middle. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, say it with me, the King of the Jews. And that's what they would do with executions. They'd put your crime on the cross. And that was his crime. Why? Because Pilate couldn't find what? Any fault in him. So that was his crime. Well, that didn't go over too well. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I'm the King of the Jews. Pilate answered and said, What I've written, say it with me, I've written. It's the end of it. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, when they had nailed him to the cross, They took his garments and they made four parts to every soldier part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. She's right there. His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by his mother, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold your son. What a graphic picture. How many understand the Bible so far this morning? You understanding what the Bible says? Say. We got to lose that stuff. We get the devil's lying to us. I can't understand the Bible. What part don't you understand about that? I'm just up here reading. Sounds pretty clear and graphic to me. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and they put it on hyssop, and they put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, say it with me, it is, help me one more time, it is, and he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He died. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken down off the cross. It's a Sabbath. High holy days coming up here during this time of Passover. We've got to take them off the cross. So break their legs and get them down from here. Then came the soldiers and they broke the legs of the first and of the other that was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, say it with me, and saw that he was what? Dead already. They didn't break his legs. But one of the soldiers with a what? Spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out, say that with me, blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. That's why this is in the Bible. Why is this in the Bible? That you might what? Believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. If you think you're going to get it by osmosis, I say it often, sitting at a beach humming, it ain't happening. You need the Bible, friend. That's why this was written. Why? So I could be saved, so I could believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. It was prophesied this would happen hundreds of years earlier in Psalm 22. And even though they didn't understand what would happen, hundreds of years later, this prophecy came true. And another prophecy came true. Verse 37, and again another scripture says, Psalm 22 also, they shall look on him whom they've what? Nailed. Okay? You know the interesting thing, we're going to move forward. But the interesting thing about the crucifixion is that it was prophesied hundreds of years prior to this happening to Jesus Christ. Well, what's the big deal about that? Well, it's still a big deal, wouldn't you say? Say. If you could prophesy something 500 years from now, it's going to happen, pinpoint it, saying it ain't going to break his legs, and by the way, they're going to pierce him, we'd give you a prize or something. You hear me? Can you believe it? But let me tell you what made this very unusual. This prophecy about the crucifixion happened hundreds and hundreds of years before there ever was such a thing as crucifixion. There was no such thing as crucifixion. The Romans came along and they started crucifying people. It was a horrible form of torture. How many sort of feel like you know how horrible it was? Well, I'm here to help you this morning feel it. Okay? And I've got the help of a doctor. Dr. Alexander Metherall examined very carefully the scriptures and knows the human body. And here's what he said about the crucifixion. You can also get this on our website. You can click on there tomorrow, do the whole message yourself, and see this. Metharol talking. Once a person is hanging in the vertical position, the crucifixion is essentially an agonizingly slow death by asphyxiation. They can't breathe. The reason is that the stresses on the muscles and diaphragm put the chest into an inhaled position. Basically, in order to exhale, the individual must push up on his feet so the tension on the muscles would be eased for a moment. In doing so, the nail would tear through the foot, eventually locking up against the bones. After managing to exhale, the person would then be able to relax down and take another breath in. Again, he'd have to push himself up to exhale, scraping his back against the coarse wood of the cross. This would go on and on until complete exhaustion would take over, and the person wouldn't be able to push up anymore or to breathe anymore. As he slows down his breathing, he goes into what is called respiratory acidosis. The carbon monoxide in the blood is dissolved as carbon acid, causing the acidity of the blood to increase. This eventually leads to an irregular heartbeat. In fact, with his heart beating erratically, Jesus would have known that he was at the moment of his death, which is when he was able to say it with me, "Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit." He would have then died of cardiac arrest. Even before he died, and this is important, the hypovolemic shock would have caused a sustained rapid heart rate that would have contributed to heart failure. As a result, of a collection of fluid would form in the membrane around the heart, pericardial effusion, as well as around the lungs, pleural effusion. Why is it significant? Listen, because of what happened when the Roman soldier came around. And being fully certain that Jesus was dead, he confirmed it by doing what? Thrusting a spear into his right side. It was probably his right side, the doctor says. This is not certain, but from the description, it was probably his right side between the ribs. The spear apparently went through the right lung into his heart. So when the spear was pulled out, some fluid, the pericardial and the pleural effusions, came out. This would have had the appearance of clear fluid like water, followed by a large volume of blood. Say it with me. As the eyewitness John described in his gospel. Would you say that part with me? There was absolutely no doubt that Jesus was. I don't have time to go into cuckoo views this morning, but there are people that believe, crazy people that want to deny Christ, they believe he didn't die. He went through all that, but he didn't die. He just swooned. He just, was in bad shape, and they buried him, but somehow, they rolled the stone away, and he walked out of there. You know what? If you've got to figure everything out, here's what the Bible says. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. That's what God says. If you don't have faith, then be man enough or woman enough to just say that instead of trying to change the Bible. If you look at just from a medical standpoint, how many of us in this room, we could survive that? Say, nailed, can't move, pushing up, can't breathe, but no, I'm just going to get up and walk out of here. This happened, there's no doubt. John was there, and it's interesting. Even with medical technology the way it is today, it's so interesting to me that eyewitness, because them big fancy words that doctor was talking about, weren't they? But it's interesting. John just wrote it like he saw it. But what he saw was medically accurate. Amen? That ought to give you courage today and encouragement as you read your Bible. Let's keep going. Why was Jesus nailed? Why was Jesus nailed? Why was he nailed? I've got a simple message for you today. Here it is. Number one, because of our sin. Could you say that with me? Because of our sin. Listen, God's got better things to do than just come down here and die for nothing. Amen? There had to be a reason. Why did Jesus Christ suffer like he did? Why was he nailed to the cross, executed like a common criminal? Because of our sin. Remember last week? What did Gabriel say when Joseph was having issues about Mary being pregnant? Gabriel said, hey, you'll call his name what? And he'll save his people from their what? Sins. And remember John the Baptist when Jesus started his ministry at age 30? What did John say? He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which does what? Takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ was nailed because of our sin. Keep looking. When Adam sinned, two hellish deaths were unleashed on all mankind. When Adam sinned, and we talked about that last week, two hellish deaths were unleashed on all mankind. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into this world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Say that last part with me. For that all have sinned. So two hellish things happened, two hellish deaths happened when Adam sinned, and death passed upon everybody. Man dies physically, and man dies spiritually. Let's just look at it a little bit further. Why did Jesus die? Because of our sin. Both of these deaths, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual, they mean one thing. Could you say this with me, that word right there? Separation. Do it with me again. Separation. Physical death and spiritual death mean one thing. Separation. The most pain I ever endured in my life was getting the phone call that my mother had been murdered. And that was hard enough to take. But then I drove home to Rockingham, North Carolina. And Mama ain't there no more. You understand? Mama ain't there anymore. The house is there. Town's there. And because she was shot in the face, we had a closed casket. The only time I can have, there's just memories of the last time I saw Mom in Florida. She was gone. That is separation. And a lot of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Somebody you love so much, and they're gone. They're not there anymore. You can't eat with them. You can't go out with them. Can't hug them. Can't talk to them. They're gone. That's what death does. And I lost Daddy back in 85. And that was hard, but I didn't know my dad as well. But to take the dearest thing in my life and take her away, she's gone. That's what death means. Are you hearing it today? Say. Death means separation. That's why some of you, you hurt right now. You hurt today. Even when I say stuff like this, you hurt, you hurt, you hurt. Because that person you love so much, they're not coming back, are they? Say. I like what David said. He can't come to me, but I can go where? To him. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we trust Jesus Christ, because we're not bringing him back, friend. That's what death is. It's separation. Physically, the body separated from the soul. And then that's called the first death. I can't do anything about the first death for you today. Can't do a thing about it. You're all going to die. Isn't that terrible? You found out that today at church. It's going to happen. Oh, not me. All right, we'll wait and see. I can't help you, but watch this. We die spiritually because of Adam. The spirit of the unsaved person is separated from God forever. Who is the unsaved? The unbeliever. A person who does not believe will be separated from God forever. Now, that's the second death. That's in Revelation. We saw it a lot in detail last week. Listen, I can help you with that one. Amen? I can help you with that one. Not because I've done anything. I'm just telling you the story so you can believe. Amen? He was nailed to a cross for you. They put him in a borrowed tomb. He rose from the dead for you. Hallelujah. Amen? So it's totally your decision if you die that second death. Separated from God forever in a place called what? Hell. Wow. That's why Jesus came. Are y'all getting it? Say. Why did he come? Why was he nailed? Because of our what? Sin. Nobody has ever lived other than Christ that hasn't sinned. And you might be here today and think that you're not that bad of a person. You know, you're probably right. You're not that bad. Not bad as me. But guess what? I doubt anybody in this room would say, I'm as good as God. Say, don't say it in my presence because I'm afraid the lightning will hit me too. Amen. Don't compare yourself with others. Compare yourself to the Lord. And all of a sudden you're laid out on the floor, a sinner, aren't you? That's why He came, because of our sin. What motivated Jesus to be nailed? What was it that motivated Him to be nailed to that cross? A couple of things, real simple. Love. Say that with me. Love. Look at this. Look at some scripture. I could go on all day on this. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for who? The ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for us. Why did Jesus Christ, what motivated Him to die on that cross and to be nailed? His love for you. But Satan wants us to think God's a mean God. He's going to hit you over the head with a ball bat. What a lie. Say, huh? God loves you so much. He gave His life for you. What else motivated Jesus to be nailed? Courage. Jesus was not mamby-pamby. He was not sissy. That's pathetic. That's your Renaissance artist that came up with that idea. He was a man. He was full of courage. How many in here today would go to a cross like that? Knowing you'd be nailed with spikes. Knowing all you've got to do is call 10,000 angels and it's over, baby. You're out of here. But He had courage. Look at the courage of Christ. Look at it. And it's something when bad things happen to us and we don't know it's coming. It's something else to know something bad's going to happen to you and you know it's right out there and you know it's coming, and every day you live, you just get closer to that horrible thing you know is going to happen one day. That's rough living, ain't it, say? That's how He lived. He knew what was going to happen. It came to pass when the time was come that He should be received up. Say it with me. He steadfastly set His face to go to where? And Jerusalem was where He was going to be killed. That's why it says steadfastly. He knew what was there, but He did it anyway. He had courage. Mark 10. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid, the disciples. And He took again the 12, and He began to tell them what things are going to happen unto Him. He knew it, but He had courage. Look at it. Saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and they shall deliver Him to the Gentiles. This is before it happened. And they shall mock Him. Did they? Yes or no? They shall scourge Him. We already read that, didn't we? They shall spit on Him. They shall what? Kill Him. How about that last part? The third day He's going to rise again. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Come on. I got to have some release. Come on. Praise the Lord. What motivated Him to be nailed? Love, friend, and courage. Isn't it great to know that's who our Savior is? He loves me. And He was courageous for me. That's how I need to be. I need to have courage like the Lord. So He was nailed. Something else I wrote down. So why did He get nailed? Because of His sin. Because of our sin. He died for our sin. What motivated Him? Love and courage. What did He accomplish by being nailed? Why did He do it? There's some other way? Here's why He did it. Look at it. To reconcile us to God. To reconcile us to God. Why? Because of sin, Adam's sin, sin passed on all men, we are what? Dead. We're separated. Well, Jesus didn't need to die. Sure He did. He's the only one that could die. God's the only one that could come up with this plan. Someone sinless, that He would be pleased with the sacrifice. What does Isaiah say? It pleased the Lord to do what to Him? To bruise Him. This was God's plan. You going to argue with God's plan? I don't think so. I just accept it. Amen? So He came and He reconciled us to God. All right, look at some scripture. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to do what? Give his life a ransom for how many? Many. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Watch this. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by who? And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. When you put some other name in there, Buddha, Allah, Mohammed, you screw up. Are you hearing me say? Who gives us our right? Or me. I'll put my name there, my good works, my good looks, my money in the offering plate. Isn't that stupid say? Somebody help me. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by who? Jesus Christ. That's why he was nailed, to reconcile us. Galatians. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. He came to redeem us. Are you getting the message? Ephesians. The Bible's full of this. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he's our peace. He hath made both one. He hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might what? Reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That's why Jesus Christ was nailed. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That's why he came. Crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should do what? Say it with me. Taste what? Death for every man. That's why he came. That's why you can't have it your way. I can't have it my way. Amen? Did Muhammad taste death for us? Yes or no? Buddha taste death? You know, you ought not be ashamed to say that. No. Well, that's not very nice. I could give a rip. Truth is truth. Jesus died for us. It's crazy. That's not to put other people down. I'm just talking about a false religion. I've been reading. I just see Jesus. That's all I see, man. If you can show him, show Muhammad, I look at him, and he ain't there. Didn't happen. I know that's ugly, but that's the truth. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. To do what? To make reconciliation for our what? Sins. It had to happen this way. I know this is, I'm just beating this horse, but boy, we got to get it down. Why else did he do this? To reconcile us to God and to glorify his Father. His Father was proud of him. Did you know that? Say, what did he say at his baptism? That's my beloved Son in whom I'm what? Well pleased. You're my Son. I claim you. I love you. He was proud of his Son. That's why Jesus did this, to glorify his Father. Thank God we got in on it. Amen? He reconciled us, but to glorify his Father. Look at it. A couple of scriptures. John 10. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I what? Lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man takes it from me. I lay down my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. This commandment have I received of my Father. This is God's plan. There's no other way. It's what the Bible teaches. John 17:4. Jesus speaking, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Amen? So it wasn't just about you. But it was. It was also about his Father. John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, say it with me, he said, it is, one more time, it is, and he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. He was nailed for me. Did you get the message today? He was nailed for me. We finished this morning. How can I possibly say that God does not love me when He allowed His one and only Son to be nailed to the cross for me? How can I possibly say God doesn't love me when He allowed His one and only Son to be nailed to the cross for me? A familiar scripture. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that such a good verse to say? Doesn't that feel good? Woo, I like it. I close with this. Sally sang about it. This was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus Christ ever came. Isaiah the prophet said, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was nailed. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and did what? Made intercession for the transgressors. Amen? I hope you have a better understanding today. I know some of you have been Christians for a while. Some of you haven't. Some of you have come from another church where they didn't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible says. Did you see it on the screen today? Say. No pictures, no word games, no pull the wool over your eyeballs. Amen? Plain Jane English. Amen? That's what this week is all about. Amen? He was nailed for me. Amen. Last time, would you say that with me? How can I possibly say that God does not love me when He allowed His one and only Son to be nailed to a cross for me? That's what the Bible teaches.